It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find the Berkshire Edge online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single day of the year and night as well. TheBerkshireEdge.com, TheBerkshireEdge.com. And of course, once again, we go live here on a Wednesday morning and we broadcast on Robinhood Radio. Let's welcome in David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning. Wait, David is doing a phone. Here he is.
David's doing a phone.
We're a little disorganized this morning, but we're here.
Yeah, that's we like that.
Hey, good. You know, it's good to be disorganized the day before Thanksgiving. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Most people are.
As a matter of fact,
right.
It's good to be disorganized.
I have so much to do before Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, let us start off with one of the stories, anyways, and that is two environmental stories. Great Barrington Reed Cleaners on Main Street, across from the Mason Library, adjacent to the post office. You know what's interesting? I've passed by that building so many times over the years. And said to myself, sooner or later, somebody's going to be stuck with a really big cleanup bill.
It's not sooner
or later. And now it turns out to be the town.
Yeah.
Because the owners kind of abandoned it, or they didn't pay taxes, and the town ended up taking it over. Big mistake. But it's, you know, it was a dry cleaning place, and they had all kinds of chemicals, and they all leached. They had about four different tanks, and they all had holes in them, and all this stuff was leaching into the ground.
It's a nightmare story, and it affects, of course, the library. It affects the post office. I mean, and these chemicals are chemicals that you would find in brownfields, folks. These are really caustic chemicals.
These are very toxic, and this little episode with this cleaners has been going on for a long time, and. Now they have to, the town, it's going to cost nearly $1 million to clean it up.
To remediate
and
it, yeah.
It's hopefully, some of the money the town is going to have to, will receive some kind of reimbursement from the Environmental Protection Agency to defray some of the costs. But it's expensive. The thing is that they detected some of these chemicals in the basement of the post office and the library. That was the issue that was really worrying people.
Well, it should, and the cleanup is an expensive process. So beware.
It's in the groundwater.
Yeah.
Right.
What they were worried about is that it would eventually make its way into the river, which is not good. Which is, well, it's a block away. So that's the other concern.
Yeah. I've seen dry cleaners close down over the years, and I've seen cleaning companies close down over the years. And I'll fully say, after they've been in operation, that these businesses for 20, 30 years, by the time they actually close down or sold, this problem arises almost 90% of the time. It really does.
Yeah.
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 It's just bad luck for the town. I mean,
well, it is, and a guy named Jeff Cullen, who's gone on to redevelop mills in the town of Lee, had offered to buy it at one point, and there used to be a lawyer in town who has since fled before he got arrested. But he represented the Reeds, who owned the cleaners. And for some reason, he refused to make a deal. I think probably there wasn't enough in it for him. He was planning to buy it because it's a great location. It's right downtown, and he thought he would make a couple of stores and maybe an apartment over it. But now, that deal fell through, lucky for him. And he was actually going to undertake the cleanup. I think he didn't realize how extensive it was. Yeah. Now he won't touch it.
Yeah. Well,
just, nobody will. Yeah. But it is a very prominent location, yeah. You know. And the people on either side, you know, the women who work at Salisbury Bank next door have expressed some concern to me that they're living next door to this, and the people in the post office, too. So, they, you know, they don't know what's leaching up through their basements.
All right, I want to go on to this. I'll tell you, for a Thanksgiving edition of the show,
yeah, so
we start off with some pretty horrible news. A farmer and the environmental activist warning Great Barrington Conservation Commission about the dangers of Roundup has urged the Conservation Commission to ban the application of it. I can remember years ago we had a garden segment on the radio. And the man who at that time owned the Salisbury Garden Center just said Roundup, even back then. Now I'm talking 10, 15 years ago. People would say, ask him about it, and he would say, just don't use it. Don't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's so effective. I mean, when I've got pieces of grass sticking up between the stones of my walkway, you know, one little zap of Roundup is all I need. Yeah. You know, so it's hard to resist.
Let it grow.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Get a scissors.
You know, that goes back to the days when the towns used to dump DDT on the side of the roads to kill the foliage that encroached on the roads years ago when I was a kid.
Speaking of leachate, it just runs into the groundwater, boys and girls.
Well, you know, railroads still do that.
Yeah.
Declare the weeds away from the roadbed of the railroads.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Roundup.
Roundup.
Right. Right. Well, farmers use it too.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
At least the Housatonic Railroad uses a brush hog. They don't use chemicals that like Roundup. They use different chemicals on some of the tree leaves and stuff like that. But it's still a dangerous thing. And these are two wild stories to start off this week with.
I know.
Yeah. Well, Roundup is, of course, brought to us by Monsanto, which has brought us many, many wonderful products like PCBs. And, Agent Orange. I mean, they concentrate on the most lethal chemical products.
My favorite Monsanto story is with all the seeds that they have now offer
with
out
the GMOs
when they buy farmland and they rent farmland and they plant this, that if the wind blows their product over onto another farmer's land,
mm-hmm. yep.
they sue the other farmer. They sue the farmer who's because it's just Monsanto is just one of those nightmare stories that nobody wants to stand up to except a few politicians who just don't get enough support.
Now they've been bought by Bayer.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, some of these big, massive companies that you see being advertised with the different arms and how helpful we are, that have their own chemical department.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
That just is, it's bad.
Well, let's get into
this is really a Thanksgiving edition. Anything
good,
else?
Well, I can just add that, you know, the active ingredient in this Roundup is glyphosate, and it's found in residue. Traces of it are found in Cheerios. So, just think of that.
All right.
I don't know if Marcy's going to be able to cope with a little bit of grass between.
Thank
her.
God I never liked Cheerios. I hope they weren't. I hope this not in Captain Crunch. I used to love Captain Crunch, but all right.
Yeah,
those funny color things.
And I do have to say, I did like Frosted Flakes as well. All right, on to the next story, which is a story that makes you feel better, and that is the Tanglewood Institute, and they've got some highlights of their upcoming offerings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great
institution now.
A great addition to our community. I mean, to our broader community, which includes both the Berkshires and Connecticut and New York, because it's so close. They have announced their next summer, and it's going to be very interesting.
Well, this is the Tanglewood Learning Institute.
They have the new
Lindy Center,
right?
Which opened last year, and it's just now they're going to be able to take full advantage of it this coming summer, and it's very, very interesting. Some of the projects that and programs that are going to be going on there, and they just announced what they're going to be doing. But Tanglewood is really becoming quite the center, you know. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
Well, what I like about what they're doing is they're broadening their base. They're living on their history, which is a great history, but they're broadening their base, and they're also expanding their reach where they're not going to be out of sight for
right.
6 months a year. They'll be in everybody's sight and doing something 12 months a year. I just think it's a smart thing.
The other thing about the Tanglewood Learning Institute is that it's not just a summer program that they have off. I mean, they have announced their 2020 summer schedule, but they also have schedules for, the fall, winter, and spring. So it's...
Well, some of the programs are really exciting, actually. I mean, they have a string quartet, what they call Master Pass, where they have 8 days with the Juilliard String Quartet programs and their fellows from June 21 through 28, which is a little before the season, Tanglewood season, traditionally opens. But that's going to be that'll be a really interesting program for those who want to study, who are interested in chamber music. And they have also program for amateur visual artists in collaboration with the IS 183 Art School, and that's for that school is also deals with a lot of kids who are, so it's going to be they're broadening their audience and reach.
They're doing a program on cinematics, which will explore the relationship between music, film, and the human spirit, and they're doing that in collaboration with the Berkshire International Film Festival. They're showing Meet the Makers, which is presenting major creators sharing the inspiration behind their craft. So it's going to be very interesting. Unfortunately, it's a small place, and now of course can spill out onto the lawn, but it's not going to be able to accommodate the huge crowds that Tanglewood can.
Well, the shed.
The shed can. So I think the tickets are going to be in great demand. Now, they go on sale to the public on February 9th. I'm not sure whether, members get first dibs, but no doubt they do.
All right.
It's quite interesting.
The next article, and that is the series of articles by your illustrator, Carol Neuberger, and her husband, who's your classical musical observer, which I like that. Illuminating the Hidden Forest.
Carol and Eli Neuberger, well, they're quite the pair.
They are.
And,
very impressive.
Very impressive, very creative. And Carolyn has been doing a series of illuminating, what she calls Illuminating the Hidden Forest. And they live in the woods in near Lenox. And and she's been going, creating a chapter after chapter of exploring the forest that surrounds her with her illustrations. And it's really fascinating.
And it's charming, too. She'll make a book of it eventually, but you can read it here in The Edge first for free.
Right, around chapter 21.
And there, she goes off into the woods with her little dog, and they discover mushrooms, and they discover little animals and insects, and and she has wonderful drawings. It's really very charming, and for anybody who's interested in the environment on the positive side, forget the two stories that we began with, but this is really, you know, this is going into the forest and observing, and, you know, and this is not deep woods. I mean, this is, you know, she lives in Lenox. Mm. So it's just the woods that happen to be around her house, which, you know, are still authentic enough to be, you know, to have a real life cycle.
Yeah, this is a kind of an old tradition, I think, in New England, actually, in fact, of being a what you might call a naturalist, you know. And she's kind of in the tradition, I guess, of Henry David Thoreau, you know, who wrote wonderful essays about nature around him. But it's a celebration of life, really. And she's of course, in other stories, she's accompanied her husband Eli when they go to Tanglewood or Jacob's Pillow, and they review the dance and the music, and she does illustrations of the musicians or the dancers
in the dark.
In the dark, yeah. She sits in the dark and sketches while the performance is going on. In the tradition of years ago there was another artist who we also ran named Saul Schwartz who did the same thing at Tanglewood and the Berkshires
and the pillow,
Jacob's Pillow, and she's following in that tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So she's quite marvelous.
Right.
I gotta get on to a former fellow NPR broadcaster.
Well, he's not former. He's Alan Chartier.
He used to be head of
WAMC
and
on the air. Yeah.
His talking about another candidate the Democrats have coming into the pack, Deval Patrick.
Yeah, Deval Patrick, our former governor.
Our former governor.
And Alan is very enthusiastic about him.
Yes. it's as if the Democrats needed another candidate.
And now they have two more.
Yes. Now they have two
more. Bloomberg and Patrick.
Mm.
But, you know, Deval Patrick was a wonderful governor as far as we in Western Massachusetts were concerned, and I think he was very popular throughout the state.
Furthermore, he has a house in Richmond.
Right. Which is right here in Western Mass.
Right. In the Berkshires.
Yeah.
Just north of here a little bit. And he's... We encountered him. I know Marcy ran into him at Tanglewood. Jacob's Pillow.
Oh, it was wonderful. The day I decided to become a Massachusetts citizen, I went into the town clerk in Great Barrington and said, "I want to become a Massachusetts citizen." And the woman looked at me and said, "Sign here." So what? And that night, I went to Jacob's Pillow, and who should I see but Deval Patrick? And I said to him, "I've just become a Massachusetts citizen." And he said, "Welcome." It made me feel so good. So, you know, I think he's a great guy. but Alan has been really, you know, writing about him, and it's a very lively discussion. You know, our commenters are out in full force, as they have been, by the way, for all the other stories that we've just been talking about. I mean, we have been, you know, one of the things that we love about The Edge is that we are, you know, I think one of the few publications left in the area that welcomes comments from our readers, and we get great and interesting comments from our readers.
All right, now we want to
curate them too.
Yeah, right. There are two that we've eliminated.
I want to get on to the last story, and that's
okay.
Carol Owens and first Thanksgiving, and also what came after it.
the Carol Owens wrote is one of our columnists, and she wrote a rather interesting account of what the real Thanksgiving was like, the first Thanksgiving, and the you know, we haven't been very, you know, we have paintings and of the celebration of the first Thanksgiving with the pilgrims and the Native Americans whom they encountered. But apparently that was not quite so friendly as depicted in those paintings. And in fact, the pilgrims went about slaughtering the Indians. That's what Carol writes about. That you know, right from the very start, encountering another people, another race, the Europeans were not so welcoming. Well, tolerant.
Yeah, of the people who were here.
And it foretold the fights that families will hold for years to come on Thanksgiving dinners.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. And it seems like we have this kind of flaw in our national character right from the start.
Well, I mean,
now we have this. Now we're you know, walling off anyone that might be different or trying to.
Well, and here we have one little tidbit of information that Carol presents. Is she says, what we know about the first proclamation of a Thanksgiving Day in the New World is this. In 1637, 16 years after that original meal, Governor Winthrop named an official day and celebration of Thanksgiving for the safe return of a hunting party. They were hunting Indians, and they slaughtered 700 men, women, and children. In the proclamation, Governor Winthrop thanked God for his help in eradicating the heathen. So, we turned and slaughtered people who welcomed us and helped us survive. So,
right. Well, on that note, we wish you guys a happy Thanksgiving.
Don't go out and slaughter.
Well, listen, you know that's why we're called the Edge.
That's exactly right.
We want to say, don't go out and slaughter any heathens.
We won't.
Say we're out of time. Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll have a happy Thanksgiving and a happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
And you
yes,
too.
Happy Thanksgiving,
okay.
You guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
The BerkshireEdge.com, that is the BerkshireEdge.com on the web.